Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. And Dr. Olin and I are here in the studio together, and we have been chatting together about a very important concept, and one I know that has really challenged me in the last number of broadcasts. We've been talking about how to take a concept, something we believe or something that we hold, and turn it into a conviction. And Doc, you kind of talked a little bit about Satan's design to get into our life through circumstances or through some physical affliction or some psychological or guilt trip that he brings upon us to try to get us to prove by our actions that we really don't believe what we say we believe. And you were really ministering to me last time we were together when you talked about how God changes us. And you talked about one of the ways that he does that is by taking us through the fire. And you had that fascinating illustration of the potter and the clay and the change that happens in the clay through the fire so that it can't go back to being just ordinary clay. The Lord used it in my own life, and I'm sure that it was a blessing to our listeners as well. But I know you've got some other thoughts, and you kind of hinted about that as we ended the broadcast last time, and so I want you to jump right in and tell us the rest of this.
So you go from fire, and then the next one is failure. How do we deal with failure? In fire, we see God's character.
Okay.
God is magnified in us. And in failure, we see our character. We see what we really are. And it's a humbling thing. No one wants to admit that there has been a failure. We would rather excuse or just before I came when we started doing broadcast today, you're well aware I just came from visiting a jail. Someone who is in right now in the midst of real failure. But that process has been going on. But I noted in my conversation with him today that there is a switch from all head ideas. Now, he said, this is not good, but it's very good, what I'm going through. And the very good is the fact that he said, maybe now I'll finally get to where God wants me to be. That turn is taking place. And this is through a failure that has taken place. And in the failure, we see that pride aspect in our lives that comes. There is something about that failure. And if you were to take the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10, he makes a very clear statement, forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth unto that which is before, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. When you look at Paul's past, he would have been flooded with such a psychological bombardment from Satan if he had not had that time alone with God, seeing the character of God,
right. Seeing
who he really is. And Paul looked back at the failures of his life because he, in his pride, ran against the very character of God. And thinking he was serving God, he was really fighting God's whole program in the midst of all of that.
And that's good. I don't know that I'd put all of that together with this concept, but that's exactly what was going on.
And therefore, when you look at the whole picture of Philippians chapter 3, Paul is saying, I'm forgetting that which is past, pressing forth unto that which is before.
I've always looked at forgetting that which is past as all of his successes, but I mean, this is really an interesting way of looking at that, that it might not have just been his successes, but all the opportunities that Satan had to do these things that we're talking about.
Yeah, I believe that's true, because when you look at what's leading up to that, you're seeing the whole thing that Paul is dealing with in his heart, you know, what he was, the boasting that he had of everything that he was, and yet we see a completely different person.
And so that failure, that time of failure, reveals things to us about ourselves. You said fire reveals things about God to us.
Yes.
But failure forces us to see ourselves as we really are.
If you could have talked to Peter after that rooster began to crow, would you have seen the same person?
I don't think so. The Bible says he wept bitterly.
Yeah, as you saw the night before. You would not have seen the same person as you saw the night before or the weeks before or the months before. Go all the way back to Matthew 16, and Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter gave a right answer, thou art the Christ. But he still didn't admit what was really going on. In fact, he argued with the Lord at that time when the Lord began to reveal the plan of why he was there on earth. But then denying the Lord before a little girl. And, I mean, he was coping with major failures, and that weeping bitterly was showing that finally that pride was swallowed and that poverty of character that God showed Peter that he really had suddenly was beginning to melt under this tremendous pressure. And it's interesting that it said the Lord looked on him. The compassion that is communicated through the gaze.
Just with his eyes.
Yeah, with his eyes. And Jesus didn't have to say anything. He just looked.
Yeah, I think a little bit about that sometimes from our own earthly parents. When we've disappointed them, we can just tell it when they look at us. Sometimes that hurts more than the actual physical discipline they might administer.
Yeah, you wish they'd swing at you.
Exactly.
You know, you wish that, you know, don't look at me. Do something. Make me, you know, but the thing that hurts, and it had to have hurt the Lord. And we went just a few broadcasts ago dealing with Jacob.
Right.
And you saw what he was going through. Finally, he admitted that past failure of those years before.
After wrestling all night with the Lord.
Yeah, wrestling all night. He had been on a psychological guilt trip for all those years that mm-hmm. came. And you see that culminating now in that wrestling with the Lord. And so the question to ask yourself, how do you handle failure? How do you cope when failure comes in your life? It may not be anything very major in the eyes of the world, but when you perceive failure, how do we cope with that failure? Each listener needs to examine that question. What do we do when we realize that we are not what we think we are or not what other people think that we are?
Sometimes we actually fear failure. The failure hasn't happened, but we're afraid, and so we create an atmosphere of fear among our own children. We don't want our children to ever tell anybody that our family isn't perfect.
We normally make happen what we fear. That is, we harp on it so much because we fear it so much, we harp on it so much, we make it happen by harping about that so much.
That's a great lesson for those of us dads who are in ministry. We fear sometimes that our children are going to embarrass us or something, and what a truth.
Yeah, we cannot live and discipline our children based on the fact of how people would think of us or our particular reputation. We have to look at that. Then the last part, faithfulness. So I take fire, I see God's character. Failure, I see my character. Faithfulness is surrendering my failed character to his unchanging character. I simply become a steward of what he has given me to do. Mm-hmm. What did Paul say? It is required of a steward that he be found faithful. It is not going by emotion. It is not going by that which is a high and a low. I just faithfully do what I'm supposed to do in that, and it takes two things, forgetting and focusing. If I'm going to be faithful, I have to forget that which is past.
That's what Paul was saying, forget those things which are behind.
And that means I come to conviction, I come to confession, I come to cleansing. I say, all right, this is my life, this is what I am, yet I am convicted. As I hear a message, God's Holy Spirit convicts me. I'm bitter. I am thinking wrongly. And then I confess that. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, David said very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find Peter acknowledging his need for the Lord. Then there's cleansing, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So forgetting in this context, which I think is interesting, is not the idea that we kind of put it out of our mind and we refuse to think about it. In fact, in this case, forgetting is actually thinking about it.
Yeah, you can't forget without these steps. Otherwise, it's always there.
Right.
For me to truly forget, I have to make sure all the bases are cleared.
And that comes back to these three things, the conviction that you allow the Lord to do in your life.
Yes.
And the confession. And then the cleansing that comes as we bring this to the Lord.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful thought there.
Then it's a clean slate. Otherwise, it's, I forget it. No, there are some things maybe you need to go. You have to say, okay, God, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not like that past never happened. Mm-hmm. I deal with that. It's under the blood. Mm-hmm. It's forever settled at Calvary.
Right.
But the fellowship aspect then is affected by that.
So there's the forgetting that's part of this faithfulness step that takes our failed character and gives it to the Lord so that he can replace it with his character. But what about the focus part?
Then the focus goes, heading now to my new vision. Number one, my focus on him, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, for the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? It was that which was his bride. You talk to a guy who is counting the days till a June wedding. Well, you know where that joy is. And I think that bride was...
where his focus is.
But in the meantime, there was the discipline. There were things that came. I put three things down under focus. It takes vision. Know where I'm going. And then it takes a vow. This one thing I do. Paul says, forgetting that which is behind, pressing forth. That's the vision. Then, virtue, this one thing I do. It's a clear focus. And then the vows that came. And virtue is that which would cause me to make the choice that is a right choice when these pressure things come along. So when we see a fire, we see, and in some cases it may be fire that God puts us through. In some cases it may be failure. Maybe God showing us who we are. And it's humbling. And thirdly is faithful. Okay, now I'm going to go on faithfully, just as though God has taken care of all that which he has. And I am now faithfully going on, but it means I'm forgetting, I've acknowledged, then I focus. And this picture of the race is a very interesting picture. You've run track in the past, and you remember, and as you're going, I remember when I used to run hurdles. And you'd be past that last hurdle, and then you would stretch with every ounce left within you
to get to the finish
to
line.
To get to that finish line, and then you may fall over. But you've given every single thing.
Sure.
And he said, I am pressing to that mark for the prize of the upward calling. I think it's referring to the rapture.
There's an example of how God could even take some of our poor choices, and as he puts us through the fire, like you talked about earlier.
Yes.
We have opportunities for that suffering, that difficulty, to turn that into good character. We take the concepts that we talk about and turn them into convictions. Well, Doc, we're out of time today. I want to thank you for listening today to the broadcast as we wrap up our discussion on turning a concept into a conviction. This topic has been especially helpful to me, and I'm sure to many of you. And we'd love to hear how the Lord is using these broadcasts and working in your life. And so feel free to write us or contact us at the address that is going to be given here at the end of the program, or visit us on our website. For those of you that would like to help defray some of the expenses of the program to keep us on the air, if you send in a donation of $10 or more, we would like to send you a copy of the book, Dr. Ola's Life Story, A Man Among Them. And we'd like to do this as a token of our appreciation to you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.